Chris, you gotta shift. Wait, no, no, no. You could be this side of the face. No, no, no. Go back to how you were.
Oh no.
There you go.
It's gonna be a video on the podcast.
I don't think Lazar is coming back, just from the standpoint of, if you are re-signing Bergie, you're re-signing Bergie, and there's not much Bergie. Wow, Bergie.
Jess is now a floating blanket.
I think if you're signing Bergie, you're signing Bergie, and what else? What room are you creating? Because the Brew, they need something. They need to add something. If you're trading DeBrusque, sure, that frees up some cap and such.
Can I offer you Sean Monahan?
Sure. Can we heal him first? And then
yeah, you're gonna
take that.
He's on
$4 million of his contract.
But I think the Brew just really like recycle on that fourth line a lot. They find someone, they sign them, their contract ends. They're like, oh shit, we don't have a lot of cap space, we can't re-sign them, and then they find someone cheaper. And it's just over and over again. And like, that's good and all. It's like worked.
That's what you're supposed to do in the bottom depth. Six. Do not overspend there.
But if they, obviously their prospect pool isn't great, but the guys that are there have the potential to be a fourth line guy, or maybe the next Sean bottom Corrali, six, like Oscar Steen. I wish Anton Bleed could have fucking made it, because I felt like he had the play style too, but he just didn't have the skill there enough to beat
that's
out.
That's kind of why
guys.
I'm not like itching for Trent Frederick to be out of here, because I think he's ideally a fourth liner. And, you know, if you give him not too many minutes, then just kind of be like, hey, man, stop taking stupid fucking penalties or else you're going to be in Providence. Then, yeah, that's fine.
I think that's
fair. I mean, your other option is you go with Frederick, Mark McLaughlin, and Oscar Steen to start the year, and you say, someone's going to rise from this. You know?
What is – I was earlier today excuse me, I was thinking about Bruins development and players that have been developing along like the same conversation. But what's going on with Jack Stadnica? I understand that, you know, he's still young, still working his way through the system, but is he's had a few chances. Has he really broken do you think he's ready to take that jump?
No, so I think the problem with Jack Stadnica was that in the absence of any other real prospect, he kind of became the Bruins' number one prospect, or skating prospect at least, Swayman obviously the top guy. But and I think just got like wildly hyped up by fans mostly.
He really got the Zach Senyshyn treatment kind of.
Yeah,
played out of his mind in junior. And it's not that every player, you know, plays out of their mind and then sucks, because he doesn't suck. It's just that you have to kind of temper your expectations a little bit,
right?
Because you're talking about a league of 16 to 20 year olds going to 20 and older in the AHL and 18 and older in the NHL. Right. And it's just that much of a jump from standing out among high schoolers essentially to making the NHL, where, I mean, Joe Thornton's been in this league for how long? You know, like there's so much more experience, and it's going to rub off on him somehow. I don't think that it made a lot of sense for them to really try him out as a number two this year. Should they maybe give him some more games? Absolutely. But I don't envision Jack Stadnica being the one to save this team, which is also a reason why you might try to move him at some point.
Lance,
I have a little bit more.
Just think about how many games Thornton would have been able to play if he hadn't
2005, 2006.
Well, if he hadn't taken all those years off to serve in World War II.
Right. I mean, there was quite a ruse going across the National Hockey League way back in the 1940s. where Tiny Thompson, Milt Schmidt, Woody Dumart, and Bobby Bauer all did their thing. Now, anyway, I'm stalling because I'm waiting.
I would say I didn't mean to derail anything, but I definitely did mean to derail that.
You did. Because ultimately, you know, I'm fine with Stu Nico taking his time. I don't think it's out of the ordinary if he's another year or two away from being somewhere in the NHL. I don't anticipate him being first or second line, but he could be a Sean Corrali, and that's just fine.
Drew has now made himself part of the advertisement.
Now he's like the rearview mirror thing. Style.
We're just looking at Drew and he's in the back seat.
Great song by Arcade Fire. Not so great when it's Drew.
In terms of Studnicka, I totally agree that like by default he became the number one prospect for the Bruins. Like you said, Chris, just because there was like no one else there. I think
you mean Trent Whitfield's not playing still.
His obstacle, I think a lot of it has been just like the management and coaching, which kind of loops the Sweeney, Neely, and Cassidy back into it. They get very few chances, these young players, to find something that's going to work. Like very few chances. Like they give them a couple games. He gives them a couple games, and then like they'll be lucky throughout those games to have the same line mates and start building chemistry and start carving out a spot in the lineup. Like it's tough. So I also think an obstacle for Stanika is honestly just Bergeron being there. Not that he's like all of a sudden going to be the number one guy next to Marchand and maybe Pasternak, depending on what they do, but that moves people up the order. And honestly, that first line C is really up for grabs for me. If Bergeron's not in the equation, it's Coyle, Halla. If Studnicka fucking blows people away and has chemistry with like Pasternak or Marchand, you never know. But I think while Bergeron's there, Studnicka's not going to get a fair look because they want to keep him at center. He's their best center. The Bruins usually have a surplus of centers and then switch guys to the wing like Marshy. And I think they really want to keep him at C, but it's holding him back. They don't want to give him fourth line minutes in that fourth line role. They know he can do more, but he's just not, there's not a space open at the moment. And so it's been hard for them to wiggle him in into a role where he could actually probably excel.
So what I got from this is that Jack Stunica is Anakin Skywalker. Cause you know, he could just say he's holding me back. And you'd be like, what is this? Episode 3.
I don't know anything about Star Wars, so sure.
If you really want to jazz things up, I feel like moving along with, you know, one of several players, you know, add somebody who's like a decent player but has like a larger cap hit, and put that with Eric Halla and see if someone bites on that. And then you move Coyle up to 2C, and then Stanika is your 3C if you're comfortable with that. I don't know if anyone is,
I mean, if you're comfortable with like retooling in that regard, then yes. That would be a team that if they make the playoffs are out in the first round. And if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, it's not a surprise.
I mean, that's in the event.
How next season is going to go anyway.
I hope Bergeron comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody does, but I think that like I don't like facing these hard hockey decisions, but no one does.
I mean, it's also just the course of time. It's what happens. The Bruins back in the 70s faced the question of, all right, how much longer do you want to hold on to Phil Esposito? You know, he will start to age, even though he's an ageless wonder and still looks incredible in his 70s. But you ask that question where it just gets to be, okay, are we willing to admit that it's beyond the point of being able to salvage something here? And now it's a new era. And within that, you have to go to the marketing team and say, can you make something out of these players real quick? No? Okay, well, we're going to trade some of these guys anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
you try not to pull a Sens and leave up a poster from like 5 years ago that still has someone like Erik Karlsson in it, and you go, you know, what's that still doing here? But anyway.
But no, it's like when I mean, it was shortly.
Bye, Chris.
Oh, I'm not leaving. I'm just putting my hand in front of Lancey's face.
He's blocking me. I'm going to be a goalie.
Kat texted me that she's coming here to get me instead of me going there to get her. So I got 20 minutes.
Nice.
Surprise Kat appearance.
Then we'll take another break for DraftKings. This is part two, I would think, that we're already in the middle of.
Yeah.
But on the other side, we're going to do some DraftKings. So future Drew, take it over.
All right. Thank you, Past Drew. What a great podcast host you are. What a stellar job. Anyway, you all know what this is, hockey fans. The pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on. And DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings Same Game Parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Take it away, Past Drew. Ha!
Here we go.
My God, it's a cat.
Question number one.
If you don't make a video out of this podcast,
I'll quit. It's going to be on YouTube. Question number one. Meow, 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 meow. No, what's your favorite piece of hockey merch or collectible that you own? And that one is from Tommy Orton over the Atlantic.
Good, solid question. I got two, I guess. It would probably be probably be strange if I didn't say the like signed Bruins jersey I have. I have the all of last year's team signed jersey that my mom got me for Christmas. But another personal favorite is I have a Kenyan national team jersey with the captain's name on the back, Azagere, and my last name is in there somewhere. So that's kind of cool. It's a really sick jerseys. You can go get those. You go to their website. I think it's the Friendship League. It's like designed after the Kenyan flag, and it's pretty cool. It's got a lion on it.
That's sick.
Lions are dope.
Can confirm.
I must say,
I've got a few things that
he has a whole closet. Everybody, grab a snack.
So it's funny you mention it because I am holding my very first jersey in my hands. It's a Patrice Bergeron circa 2006 jersey, which I got when I was 11. And
if you hold it in front of yourself, maybe the camera will be able to see
I've tried, but it's
oh no.
you can barely see the bear that was on a painting that Terry O'Reilly or someone had. But anyway, it's the weird alternate logo bear with the white eyes, not the crazy one. But anyway, that means a lot to me because everyone loves the first jersey, right? And then I have the second jersey I ever got, which is a Joe Sakic jersey, because like Patrice Bergeron, I grew up a Joe Sakic fan, and I wanted that so bad for Christmas that when I walked down the stairs and saw it on the couch, I shrieked like a small child would. So those mean a lot. And then I have a few things that are signed by players like Tim Thomas, Sean Thornton, Nathan Horton, Adam McQuaid, my guy, Michael Ryder, and then a hat that's signed by Patrice Bergeron, Rich Peverly. So that's always cool. But, you know, it's the simple stuff like that.
Well, I'll try to get Chris so you can see. Oh, no, now everything's see-through. Okay, there we go.
That's sick. Anything else, Lancey?
I mean, the whole rest of my room is
okay. Great,
literally moving golden on. Stuff. But
Drew, what are you? What's?
Are we bobsledding right now? Right? Everybody left.
Wait, like the other left.
My hockey merch would have to be. I have a Pooh Bear. Kids sized Ray Bourque jersey that is signed. So I would have to say that is my favorite piece of merch. Absolutely.
Awesome. I have nothing. Actually, no, that's a lie. I guess I have a Bruins signed hat from the 2018-2019 team. Yeah, and then my signed Johnny Gaudreau puck. Because who doesn't love a good eBay purchase?
Hell yeah. Oh yeah,
especially a guy that went to BC. Anyway, that's for the BU and BC people to fight about. I went to neither.
Next question. We have boxers or briefs from Bonzi S. Bonzi. Good old
this
Sam.
Is like when I get asked for a spoon or a fork and I say spork.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Boxer briefs exist for a reason here.
I have boxer briefs too, but if I have to lean towards one or another, it's briefs.
I'm boxers and boxer briefs.
About 50, I had split. Boxers in like middle school.
I was going to say.
Because it was cool. It was for
I'll
gym
make a
class.
Plug for like what DJ Bean talked class. About before. Like you get to that age where you start to feel more like an adult and you switch from boxers to boxer briefs. And at some point, maybe you go briefs. I don't know. It just, it's, you know, it's very based on like, how old are you and
is
are you a
like,
functioning adult?
Is this the male equivalent of going from like a training bra to the big girl bra?
I don't think so.
Okay, really? I wasn't. Not in like no. terms of sizing,
it's just
but
a,
like
it's
stepping into adulthood.
Personal personal preference of okay. like support.
Oh, now he
and
is
I mean,
the
like,
banner in the
how
raft.
Active are you? Are you going to the gym and are you not going to the gym? That sort of thing.
Okay, well, nice. Okay.
Are you trying to make the black flag?
Chris, you gotta shift. Wait, no, you could be this side of the face. No, go back to how you were.
Oh, no.
This is gonna be a video-only podcast.
what was the... Oh, next question. Any free agents realistically fit for the Bees? And then that was from Sean Rajat. And then Spencer Damphouse says,
Damphouse, I believe. Don't disrespect Vincent Damphouse.
Or is the PH of Damphouse? This Patrice Bergeron fella, and that's about it. That's what he said. And I say, I agree. He's the most realistic fit for the Bruins.
I mean, this Bergeron kid, he sounds like he's a pretty good player.
Dude, I heard they got him in the second round. That's nuts. Why isn't Seneshin 10 times better than him?
Yeah, I don't know if there are any like realistic UFAs that are like fun, exciting ones that people are going to want. Like, I feel like people are going to look at the free agent list and be like, oh man, there are so many like good players out here that the Bruins should be signing. And now the Bruins have zero cap space, so they're going to probably make some trades.
I mean, there's Evgeny Malkin, but he's going to want like $10 million, so no.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux will be available. So Kadri, if you want a temporary second line center.
I love the idea of Kadri. I think he and Marchand on a line together would be fucking hilarious.
That'd be incredible.
You know who they should get?
Stick Trent Frederick on the other wing. Like, that'd be perfect.
Louis Eriksson, the return of the king. Paul Stastny will be available. That's, again, if we're thinking short-term temporary solutions if the Armageddon occurs and Patrice Bergeron retires and you can't make a trade. I mean, sign Paul Stastny.
Yeah, it's just the thing is, like, McAvoy's deal kicks in. He's making like $9.5 million. Even without Bergeron re-signing, the Bruins have $2 million in cap space. So
it's not as bad as it could be, however.
Yeah. So I think the ideal is you look at, you know, who are the movable pieces, and like Matt Grzelcyk is somebody that people are going to want. I think he and Mike Riley have a similar skill set. Obviously, I think Matt Grzelcyk's a better player, but if you want to, you know, move some redundant parts, then I think you'd be able to fetch something for Matt Grzelcyk, and he's making four or something. And Jake DeBrusk, that's four-ish, 4.125 million or whatever. He wants out, so I don't know if you're going to get a whole lot for him. You'd probably have to take a little bit of that salary back, but that's some salary you can move out. But I don't know if that gets you somewhere where you can make a big free agent signing. I think that gets you somewhere where you can re-sign Patrice Bergeron if he wants to come back.
That's a big free agent signing, I think. That's about as big as it's going to get.
The best signing in free agency is all of our health players return to full health.
Yeah.
Like at the trade deadline.
I still haven't like processed that Hampus Lindholm is here for the next 8 years.
So
it's going to be sick.
You know how much Chris loves Mike Riley. I love Hampus Lindholm. I'm not saying he's the next Daniel Chara, but I am saying I would rather have a certified top two for now, maybe top four, you know, the second half of the deal type defender, given the way that he lets Charlie McAvoy play and how it really solidifies the future of the core that you already have. I mean, the old core has already been gone. Like, there's Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand. I don't think you can consider that a core. I think you consider that two old players on your team, and Marchand's not even that old. But you know, the new core, Lindholm, McAvoy, you can build something with that. If you have Riley as your second pairing defender, that's great. Carlo's another guy that you might consider to make expendable. But I like the direction that the defense has been heading in. It's the forwards that need to be overhauled.
Yeah, it's. I would add Zboril. That signing kind of makes, you know, shores up the left side. If you believe that he's going to be back and fully healthy and kind of
a complete 180 from his first full year to his second year, which was unfortunately cut short by a torn ACL.
Yeah. I'll co-sign everything you said about Lindholm with a big asterisk that says when healthy.
Yeah, that's my,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like his start here was kind of tainted, like not his own fault, but I do think that fans have a short-term memory and they do like to cling to the negativity. I must say, the biggest difference about covering the Flames over the Bruins is how like rational they are.
Relatively calm the fans
are. They're calm.
It's almost like they know things about hockey.
It's mind-blowing. Like, I'm over here telling them to pack it up and walk back to Calgary, and these people are like, no, it's okay. Like, there's still more hockey to play.
There's still more hockey to play, and it's the Flames. They've done this, every year.
I can't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. They're too rational. But, you know, I always love talking about my Bruins.
Next question: what jersey would you like to see the Bees wear for the upcoming Winter Classic? Cheers from K Rafter.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but our guy Sean, the one that we've already talked about with the question earlier, and we're working on a concept. This is also my way of saying, Sean, I'm sorry I haven't written in like a week or two, but I'm gonna send some ideas probably this weekend. I know a lot of people really love what I call the second logo. It's really from the late 20s to early 30s. You might recognize it from the 1929 Stanley Cup champion banner in the garden.
I was there.
Right. Chris is as old as they are as a team. And no, it's a little bit of that. I think that would be the best logo to go with this time around, but I don't really want to see that jersey. I have an idea of a nice spin on kind of one of the first alternates, if you consider it that. It was a solid block of gold with a little bit of black from 1940 to 44, and it just said Bruins on the front. It would be kind of weird, but it also, to me, it seems a bit more fitting for Fenway as a venue to either go with that or with the second logo and to really just like invert the colors. So you'll see what I mean when we get a concept out there. And, you know, I think this time around they should go brown because we saw the element of brown in 2010 and we liked it, but it was primarily gold jersey, which we saw another gold jersey outdoors, coincidentally, thanks to the reverse retro program at Lake Tahoe. And then we saw the brown stripes on the primarily white jersey in 2019. And all three of those jerseys did better than the 2016 jersey, which was based on the very first jersey, but changed from brown to black. So therefore, if you want to win this game, you have brown somewhere in the jersey. You kind of throw it back to the first national stores themselves, or Brookside or whatever it was called, because Charles Adams went through a couple different iterations of his grocery chain, but you do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you just do something different. I don't want to see a jersey that the Bruins have already worn before.
Yeah. I
see something new using concepts from the past. And I think you went over that pretty well, Lancey.
That's what I try to do.
I'm trying to show this because this is what I want.
I have made a Penguins concept, by
the way. Drew, we got you.
It's a little bit more plain.
Thank you, Drew.
Red Sox.
Yeah, you did a great job, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew wants them all to wear Kike Hernandez jerseys.
That is some take on the Pooh Bear, though. I feel like the Pooh Bear isn't classic enough.
No, because it's going to be reverse retro 2.0. So,
oh, there you go. That taken care of. You know what? They're going to make a bunch of different jerseys. Oh, has everyone gone while I was fooling around with my jersey? Or
I don't think Jess.
No, you're the second
one. I have to know what
I'm the second one. Great.
Literally just hire like the kid who does the Riveters. I think his name's Justin Cox. I could be very wrong. But he's an Avalanche fan and has some fantastic concepts and even real jerseys that he's brought to life, and just hire him or hire Joe Dabney because she is an icon and could probably do something better than anyone that's hired by the Bruins right now. Sorry.
And Chris is on the phone.
Chris is getting inside information about this.
He's making some calls. He's making some calls. He's hitting up.
Per source, Chris is talking about exchanging money for a jersey and or hot dogs and or something. I don't know. Like what's popular in Fenway these days?
I wouldn't know. This is like when Bob McKenzie would get a phone
call. We have a breaking trade.
Free agency frenzy nonsense. I miss Uncle Bob.
Bobby Margarita. He's got a line of margaritas now in Canada.
In Canada.
That sounds like a good reason to go visit Canada sometime.
Chris, any takes on the jerseys, or did you give yours?
I already gave mine. I basically co-signed on Lancey's. I just want something different than what they've done before. Were you putting Jess on my hat? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, she's the Celtics.
She is now the Boston Celtics. Yeah. Eastern Calgary Flames Celtics.
It's a Christmas Flames hat.
Yeah.
Last question before we end, and now this is going to be a one word and answer for everybody. I don't want any explanation. I just want your one word answer. Bergeron, from Aiden Holleran. Bergeron, retirement or extension?
I sexy. Say,
nailed it.
I say extension.
I didn't hear any of the questions.
No, you have to say retirement or extension for Bergeron. One of those words. Extension.
Okay, extension.
Rection, but you spell it like Mark Recchi. So he starts doing one-year deals.
That wasn't one word.
I know, but I'm trying to create something that's creative.
Yeah, I went with sexy.
I don't think.
Great. Well, this has been a great episode of the Bears and Bruins.
Drew trying to make rules. That doesn't count.
Drew here. Comes on my show and doesn't play by the rules. I don't have to play by the rules on Drew's show.
Here we go. Are you?
I was hoping Cam would be here so I could show him, well, my Old Bay goldfish. Because.
Oh, damn.
At least it's not that Old Bay vodka that I saw.
No, and they're coming out with Old Bay like beer.
Right.
Like a summer ale. I'm all set. Thank you so much. Goldfish will do.
For everybody out there, thank you to everyone here. We have. Jess Belmosto. We have Nick Lanciani. We have Chris Gear. And I am Drew Johnson. If I can click on myself, there we go. I'm Drew Johnson. Thank you, everybody, for all that you do in the world. Thanks. Bye.